Down East Institute.
I thank you for allowing me to be here, Senator Maker, Representative Kamega, and the rest of the esteemed members of the Marine Resources Committee, some of whom I know. I'm here today as the Executive Director of the Down East Institute for Applied Marine Research and Education. We're an organization that started about 30 years ago as the Beals Island Regional Shellfish Hatchery. We're literally a handful of communities that got together to try and figure out how we could bring back the clam resource. They began working with Dr. Brian Beal at the University of Maine at Machias, and the partnership has continued to grow and explore many problems facing softshell clams and other shellfish around the state of Maine. We started out as in a tiny clam chucking shed on a pier on Beals Island, and we were a program of the University of Maine at Machias, but in the late 90s we were spun off as a private nonprofit organization, and in 97 we became the Down East Institute. So as a nonprofit organization, our mission is to improve the quality of life for the people in Down East and Coastal Maine through applied marine research, technology transfer, and public marine resource education. We also serve as the marine science field station for the University of Maine at Machias, so we've continued to have a partnership with that institution that has evolved and grown over the years as well. Typically, Director of Research, Dr. Brian Beal, is appearing before you to offer some sort of expert testimony in the area of shellfish biology. He's a marine ecologist. He is one of the leading shellfish researchers in the country, and he continues to be a resource to this committee, and I hope that you'll continue to look at the Down East Institute as a resource as well. Just to talk briefly about some of the different areas of our mission, applied marine research and technology transfer, they're kind of hard to separate because we're doing all of that simultaneously most of the time. Right now we have a commercial scale production hatchery on Great Wass Island in the town of Beals. We produce juvenile shellfish, softshell clams, razor clams, surf clams, Arctic surf clams, mussels, European oysters, basically any juvenile shellfish needed for applied research, for community stock enhancement, or for aquaculture development and experimentation. And usually it's a combination of those things. So we're very busy. We also have, one of the reasons that our facility is important is because it's large enough to produce the hundreds of thousands of animals that you need to do field-based trials and research. So you can get any quantity, pretty much, of shellfish that you need, and we work with Dr. Beal's research as well as researchers from other institutions, Woods Hole and University of Maine. We also work directly with businesses and fishermen to help them experiment with different ideas that they have, and we're very happy that people in the community view us as a resource. We do have an education program that started in earnest about in 2011, and since that time we've engaged about 6,000 students, not only in things like the typical field trips and tours and that kind of thing, but also in working directly with students, teaching them how to do the scientific method and be, I don't know, critical thinkers about their coastal communities, which helps them be better stewards and better fishermen in the future, and that's become very, very successful. We're also really proud of the partnership that we've developed with the University of Maine system, which you'll be hearing more about in the coming days. I mentioned we have the hatchery. We also have an education center, which is a learning wet lab where kids come in and they explore the coast and they do their research. But we've really, for some time, needed space for other researchers to come in, to host more students, more businesses. So that's something that's been in the planning stages that is finally imminent. In your packets, I just wanted to explain, they seem sort of random. But there is a brochure in our annual report, which kind of gives an overview of what we do. And then I included a brochure from the University of Maine Machias because they're so much our partners in this. And some examples of the research that we do. One is a sort of a preliminary report done by Dr. Beal on the effects of coastal acidification on clam survivorship in different high acid areas, which I think will be really interesting. And just the first page of a scientific journal article that was co-authored by Dr. Beal and some names from the Department of Marine Resources that are probably familiar to you, so we're quite proud of that. That just came out recently. Let's see. I didn't keep a copy of myself because I didn't bring enough copies with me. Oh, the Coastal Academy. This is another aspect of our education program where we're doing professional development for teachers to help them get more comfortable teaching the scientific method to their students. So, and finally, some of you, if I missed anybody, I can make it up to you. I included little magnifying glasses. If you're wondering what those keychains are, they're for doing examinations of marine species or the fine print of legislation that may come before you.
I might need that. So, any questions? Representative Kamega.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Diane. Good to see you.
Nice to see you.
I believe you have something coming up this Friday that you might want to
mention,
I can't make it. But
yeah, we are going to be sharing some good news about the expansion that I mentioned that is finally imminent. We have had a vision for 16 years since the Down East Institute became the Down East Institute to become the easternmost marine research laboratory in the United States. It sounds sort of ambitious, but as it turns out, not unrealistic. So it's a very exciting time for us, and it's going to allow us to do more of the kind of thing that we've been doing and host more researchers. And I neglected to mention that we also, our senior scientist is Dr. Phil Yond, and we have a lot of good people working in our facility, and I'm excited about the prospects for Easton, Maine.
So what's happening Friday?
It's basically an announcement.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Is there any questions? Representative Toole.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Tilton. 18 years ago, did you honestly expect both of us to be sitting where we're sitting here today?
I did not envision that exactly, Representative Toole. But looking back, I'm not surprised.
And to be clear for the audience, Representative Tilton was my former boss in a past lifetime for 6 or 7 years. So we have a strong history together. And
any other questions? Thank you very
much.
It's nice seeing you. Oops, I'm sorry. Representative Sutton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, this is an impressive packet here. I'm just curious, your operating budget, what kind of numbers do you folks work with up there?
For our core operating, I would say when I say core operating, I don't count the grants that are brought in by senior scientists, because those are in and out. You know, we don't have any control over them necessarily. So our annual budget is about $800,000. And that's a mix, but primarily state and federal research grants, but also some earned income and some foundation support.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next.
I can put these on. Good afternoon, Senator Maker and Representative Kumiega and members of the committee. My name is Dana Morse. I'm an extension associate with the Maine Sea Grant Program and University of Maine Cooperative Extension. My boss, the director, Paul Anderson, couldn't be here. He sends his apologies, and so you get me. I'll hopefully tell you a little bit about who we are and what we do. I'd like to try to do it through the handout here. I had written some notes, but as it turns out, I'm kind of reacquainting myself with this document. It actually walks I think will walk you through those things pretty well. I've been on the job for almost 19 years now, old enough to start having to wear cheaters when I look at the things close by. I got to tell you, I love my job just as much now as when I started in 1998. The main Sea Grant program is part of a national network. There are 33 Sea Grant programs nationally, every coastal state, including every Great Lakes state, Guam and Puerto Rico. If you have a little bit of agriculture history in your back pocket, you might recall that the land grant program, which kind of oversees the University of Maine Cooperative Extension, started in the Lincoln administration around 1863, 64, 65 or so. And its role was to increase the flow of information from the farming community back and forth to the institutions of higher learning and research. So help farmers grow things better, more, and to help advise researchers and scientists and policymakers about what was going on the ground. Back in the late 60s and early 70s, the Sea Grant program was modeled after land grant. And oddly enough, the place that I work at, the Darling Marine Center, was just getting going at the same time. So nationally, Sea Grant came along. The Darling Center was developed, and oddly enough, as luck would have it, the first funding in Maine for Sea Grant was to hire a fellow named Dr. Herb Haidu at the Darling Marine Center, and his research was on aquaculture. So Maine Sea Grant's been involved in fisheries and aquaculture ever since, continue to do so. The one thing perhaps that I would like to leave you with is that if we can be of service to this committee, we would like to be. We're kind of in the public service game, if you will. We rely on science-based information in a variety of marine-related fields to help our constituents. So let's see here. I'd like to turn your attention to the back page. We do a couple of things in general. One is we fund research. We sponsor research. We have a small biennial call of about $600,000, and you see some information about the research that we have sponsored here. So part of the enterprise of Sea Grant nationally is to help create new science-based information for use by managers, by scientists, by resource harvesters, and the whole ball of wax there. If you kind of open up and go onto the left-hand sheet, page 2, if you will, you'll see our mission. And I won't read it for you. It's kind of motherhood and apple pie. You can probably guess it. We're after wise use and conservation of marine resources and sustaining the communities of people who depend on those resources and interact with them. We're a fairly small staff. We're based out of Orono. But as you can see kind of in the middle of the page, we span the coast from Wells all the way to Eastport. My colleagues have expertise in everything from beach profiling, microbial source tracking, fisheries and aquaculture, climate change, facilitation and coastal development. And really what we try to do is to be nimble so that we can answer issues as they come up while still being able to provide some expertise on specific topics. My own bag is these days has been shellfish, both in commercial harvesting and aquaculture, and I'm kind of a recycled fishing gear development guy. So I used to work on trawl gear, scallop drags, fish pots, that kind of stuff. So we fund research. We create communications products. These can be books, articles, videos, fact sheets, and again, these can range from cold storage of oysters to the rockweed fishery in the state. And again, hopefully for a wide variety of audiences. We get involved in education and workforce development. And this kind of overlaps in some of my own work, which has to do with the tech transfer of aquaculture production techniques into the commercial fishing industry. And you heard a number of presenters earlier today about this kind of technology transfer. And my colleagues and I are involved in this through a program called Aquaculture in Shared Waters, which we've been involved in since 2012, and we've had about 75 students come through. And we recognize that while it is an imperfect solution and it's not going to be for everybody, aquaculture is one of those few things where we can hopefully have a little bit more diversification on the waterfront than we currently have. Let's see, some of the general aspects of the extension crew, again, this is kind of the middle of the page here, has to do with informal education, although some of my colleagues do teach courses at university level. It's technology transfer, so one of the big things, again, with my colleagues and I, is the transfer of Japanese technology to grow sea scallops. And I'm one of those people that has a scallop problem. We have a lovely product here, and we have rather an incredible opportunity for all the reasons that you've heard earlier. Maine scallops are just the top shelf on the planet. So informal education, technology transfer, and applied research. Those are the kind of the three major areas that my extension colleagues and I get involved in. And again, it kind of lists us out in the middle of the page. You can see what we're up to, if you will. And then the last thing that I'll say right now is that we have a policy advisory committee listed on the right. And thank you, Representative Kamega, for being part of that. Really, we want to have a group of people that has a diverse background to help advise us on what we're up to and how we go about business. So we're grateful for that that advice. Thank you. I think I'll stop there and take any questions. Thank you.
I think you did a pretty good job for us, one that just came in. Any questions in there? Representative Alley?
Yeah, I just wondering if you, that brochure you passed out there, if you see that bowl on the front page there?
This one right here?
No, on this little one right here.
No, that's Diane's.
I was neglectful in not pointing that out, I apologize.
Okay. Well, anyway, I've worked with Brian Beal quite a few times, and that's my boat in that picture. We did the scallop project for 8 years out of that one boat right there. So it's one of the best-looking boats down East Maine. That's a Beals Island boat.
Thank you very much for coming. We appreciate it. Next.
Good afternoon, everyone. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. Just looking at my presentation here, I forgot to put the name of my organization at the top. I'm with the Independent Maine Marine Lamb
Harvesters. Can you introduce yourself first?
My name's Daniel Harrington, Dan. I'm with the Independent Maine Marine Worm Harvesters Association. We're a fairly new organization, so I basically have got just a rough overview of what took place over the course of this year with us. Over the course of this year, we have engaged in several activities, not the least of which was the commercial harvest policy situation at Acadia National Park. Many thanks to the Department of Marine Resources, Acadia National Park staff, and all the other fishery stakeholders involved for handling the situation very respectfully and inclusively. Later in the year, the IMMWHA engaged in two charitable activities. One was the collection of donations for the Salvation Army for the Children's Back-to-School program, and later a food drive in support of Hurricane Matthew victims in the Carolinas, where many of Maine's marine worms find their way to sport fishermen's hooks. Throughout this year, we also engaged in two collaborative research projects. One was a worm density study conducted by William Ambrose, professor of Bates College, and his colleague, Bill Locke. This has been an ongoing study since the early 1980s. This was the third year worm harvesters have helped with this project. The second project was funded through worm harvester license fees. The Department of Marine Resources met with the IMMWHA members to discuss a bait worm cull return study. DMR contracted William Ambrose for the project. Bill Locke conducted the field research with help from several IMMWHA members. The full report of this study can be viewed at immwha.com. This project was a huge first step in a collaborative research to actually learn more about the worm resource. It is also the first time, to my knowledge, that any research has been conducted in regards to worms' survival rates when being reintroduced to the mud. We would like to thank the DMR for their support on this project. We would also like to thank William Ambrose of Bates College, who is likely the foremost marine worm scientist in the world. Thank you also to Bill Locke for the field work and support. We hope this kind of research can continue and shed some light on a resource that very little is known about.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Senator.
Not a question. I just want to thank you, Dan, for being here today and for your work in this organization.
Thank you.
Representative Alley.
Say hi to your dad for me.
Certainly will.
Any other questions? Thank you very much for your time. Thank you
thank
for
you.
Waiting long.
Somebody wants to go last.
Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Ben Martens, and I'm the executive director of the Maine Coast Fishermen's Association. Our office is in Brunswick, Maine, but we work with fishermen up and down the coast. We were started by groundfish fishermen out of the port of Port Clyde, but we have since expanded to work with fishermen predominantly in the groundfish fishery for many years in the Harpswell, Portland, Saco, and other communities. As you guys know, the groundfish fishery is not necessarily in the best shape right now in our state. In federal waters. And so we've spent a lot of time for building our organization to fight on behalf of Maine's traditional small boat fishermen. But in that work, we have started to expand our efforts into other fisheries, such as scallops, shrimp, herring, menhaden, other places that our fishermen who have diverse fishing businesses need some help, need some energy, and fighting on their behalf in multiple different venues. The majority of our work is done at the federal level, and that's where we spend most of our time. But we wanted to show up today, talk about a couple of different programs that we're working on, and just make sure that you're aware of the importance of this fishery for the state of Maine. So, in brief, what we have been trying to do over the past couple of years is find a way to preserve the Maine's traditional groundfish fleet. And those are boats that participate in a number of different industries throughout the fishing year. They might fish for scallops in the winter, go catch some lobsters in the different shoulder seasons, and then participate in the groundfish fishery in the summer. Those boats have been declining significantly over the past 5 years since we moved to an allocation-based system called sectors. These are all federal boats. They participate in state waters fisheries, though. And it's a very, very difficult place to make a living right now because of some of the allocations that exist. One of the programs that the state of Maine operates right now is the Maine State Permit Bank. And those are fish that are set aside that were bought by the state of Maine. They will own forever that our boats can then lease on an annual basis to be able to go out and participate in the fishery. This has been a significant impact on their business and has been a huge boon to the getting those boats out on the water, especially the smaller businesses that don't have a lot of their own allocation at the beginning of the fishing year. So we want to thank you guys for the work that's been done, especially Department of Marine Resources for operating the permit bank every year. Past couple of years, our boats have been going through a particularly difficult time, and they've actually been moving that quota to us at a discounted rate of $0, which has been fantastic for these vessels. So I just want to say that has been a huge part of getting our boats out on the water. Our sector, which is in order to go participate in the groundfish fishery in Maine, you have to be part of a sector. We operate one of the two active sectors in Maine. We've gone from landing almost 2 million pounds of fish annually to this year we are not going to break 300,000 pounds of fish landed from our boats. This is scary for the infrastructure of our state. It's scary for having robust and diverse fishing businesses in our state. And we as an organization are working with partners to try and make sure that we protect and preserve this part of the fishery. So those are a couple of the quick things I wanted to highlight about the work that we're doing. We also have programs that we're focusing in on that hit on groundfish policy at the federal level. We've got a really interesting program right now where we're putting cameras on boats to try and collect different pieces of information from their catch and discards to get into the scientific process. We work on scallops. We've been working with Togue and Down East Day Boat to try and protect the federal scallop fishery. We have a small boat federal fishery that right now is under great duress, and we're trying to preserve access for that fishery into the future. And then we also work on forage fish ecosystem-based management, trying to make sure that the groundfish that we're trying to rebuild and bring back in the Gulf of Maine have something to eat while they're out in the ocean. And then we've also started to work on climate change issues. This is something that came from our fishermen. They're experiencing warming waters, and they don't know what to do about it. They don't know how to look forward into the future and plan out their fishing years, or how to buy permits, how to anticipate that future. So we've begun having discussions with them about that, pulling in experts from around the country to talk to them about how to deal with those type of changes. So those are the big high-level points that I wanted to hit on. I think that we are probably going to be coming to you guys a little bit more often and engaging on this level, because we do have fishermen that are asking us to make you more aware of the work that we're doing. So that's what we'll be doing.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Representative Alley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Are these boats that you're talking about now the same ones that are out there bringing the herring in that they sell to the fishermen, lobster bait?
We work with several of the smaller purse-seine vessels that do some herring catching, but not the midwater trawl boats that we've actually been working to try and limit the catch of the midwater trawl boats because of some of the concerns we have about that fishery.
Thank you.
Representative Kameka.
Thank you, Madam.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Do any of the boats fish inside the three – are they doing any – are they catching any ground fish inside the three-mile limit, or it's all offshore?
It's all the boats that we work with are all offshore. I don't know that there's much, if any, ground fish fishing from the state waters. There's a lot of lobster traps in that area, which make it difficult to participate in that fishery.
Thanks.
Yeah. Any other questions? Thank you very much for your time. Thank you for coming. Welcome. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Senator, Representative, members of the committee. My name is Dan Riley. I'm an attorney with a firm in Norman Hansen in Detroit. I may be before you this session on behalf of one of my clients. It's a pro bono client that I've represented for many years, the Coastal Conservation Association's Maine chapter. So this is a recreational saltwater fishermen's association headquartered out of Houston that has chapters up and down the East Coast, the Gulf Coast, and the West Coast. There is a Maine chapter here, has been for many years, and on occasion when recreational saltwater fishermen have a particular voice to be presented here before your committee on some of the issues that you have, whether it's on bait or whether it's on striped bass or bluefish or tuna or whatever it might be, they'll ask me to come and present that for them. So just wanted to introduce myself and welcome the new members.
And thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now you are the last.
All right. I'll swing it. Because it doesn't want to talk. So I'll talk to you guys. Senator Maker, Representative Kumega, I'm Annie Salikas. I'm the Executive Director of the Maine Lobster Dealers Association. I represent a number of lobster retailers, processors, wholesalers, and live shippers from Maine, and companies that are based out of the state that have serious interests in the state of Maine. And what I wanted to show you on my presentation is really the structure of the lobster supply chain, something that I think that overwhelmingly people in Maine are really unfamiliar with. So the sector that we represent is the sector that happens after the harvesting of lobsters. So fishermen and fishermen obviously go out and fish for lobster. When they come in and they sell to a wharf or sell to an independent lobster dealer on a town pier, such as the Stonington Town Pier or the Bass Harbor Pier, then the lobster gets aggregated and distributed. So the lobster industry is all about aggregation of product and dispersal of product. What we do is receive the lobster and add value to it. So fishermen may grade lobster in terms of a soft shell, hard shell, select size. We receive lobster that is otherwise boat run. So we will take the lobster in. We will add value to it by grading it for certain sizes and additional shell qualities and distributing it around the world. We may sell it to other lobster dealers. We may sell it to lobster processors, or we may distribute it within our customer base worldwide. This sector occupies a substantial amount of additional economic employment along our coast of Maine, as well as supporting a number of ancillary businesses such as packaging companies, truck drivers, fuel companies, energy, you name it. We're running these facilities 24 hours a day because we are taking care of live lobster. The infrastructure that we use to support the lobster industry is massive. We occupy a number of very expensive coastal waterfront properties through the wharves that we own, the live tidal pounds that we use for storing lobster, as well as our tanks that we use in all critical infrastructure in supporting this business. So when you hear volumes like 124 million pounds of live lobster landed in Maine, an additional 130 or 140 million pounds of lobster coming from Canada, all of this happens in the course of the supply chain for the lobster industry. The Maine Lobster Dealers Association has been around for over 30 years in one form or another. It was originally founded as the Maine Import-Export Lobster Dealers Association, and a group of members several years ago came together and added some new life to the organization, hiring the first staff person, me. I work part-time. I also work for a live lobster distributor. I've worked in this industry for 10 years. I'm very passionate about the lobster business. I've worked for many of the organizations that presented earlier today. I got my start in Stonington, Maine with the Penobscot East Resource Center. I've worked for the Maine Lobstermen's Association, the Gulf of Maine Research Institute, and the Island Institute. My interests in this industry are vast. We cannot have a strong lobster industry unless all of the parts of this industry work together. So we do work with our harvesters. We work closely with the Maine Lobstermen's Association, with the Department of Marine Resources. The major issues that are pertinent to my part of the industry and my members are issues more of international trade, labor, housing, energy. You probably won't see us come before the Marine Resources Committee because right now there aren't a lot of bills that are specific to our part of the industry, but we are paying attention. You will hear us speak to your joint committee hearing with appropriations regarding the department bill, something which we are very supportive of. And we are currently undergoing an economic impact study to assess the real value of our sector, to categorize the number of jobs that go into moving lobster all around the world, in processing this product, in shipping it, and making sure that it reaches our customers in the best quality and that we are proud of the product that comes from Maine and comes from our colleagues across the border. Our relationship with Canada is very important, and something that I think that the majority of the industry doesn't really understand outside of the dealer sector. We rely upon each other. We send lobster to Canada for processing, and we bring live lobster from Canada in at Christmas time and throughout the winter to be able to support our customer base, at times when fishing is slower in Maine. If you have any questions at any point in time regarding the lobster business side of the business, I'm happy to be here for you. I will send you my presentation that is not cooperating with the projector. I've known Walter for a long time and, certainly Representative Sutton. It's nice to see you here on the committee. I look forward to being able to provide resources and support for you guys. I know that Senator Carson has a bill regarding lobster processing, a title submitted. I am meeting with him and his legislative staff tomorrow on the matter. But we are a large employer. We are really important because without us, lobsters from Stonington, Maine wouldn't get to Shanghai or Korea or a number of other markets. And certainly the cooperation with the lobster fishermen is critically important for our business.
Thank you. Any questions?
My name is Annie, and my last name is T-S-E-L-I-K-I-S, and I'm the director of the Maine Lobster Dealers Association. Thank you.
Any further questions? Seeing none. Thank you very
Thank
much
you.
For coming. We appreciate
Thank
you coming.
You.
Thank you. So, do we have anybody else? So we're not done. But thank you all for presenting to us today. It's very important for people like me to hear everything you've had to say.